And welcome back. Irish-born priest Father Tony Flannery speaks and writes his mind even when it's in conflict with Catholic Church doctrine. And he's paying the price. He is a member of the Redemptorist Congregation and has been a priest for 40 years. His writings in Reality magazine on the ordination of women, contraception, and homosexuality angered the Vatican, which suspended him as a priest, suggesting he was guilty of heresy for his views. He was threatened with excommunication unless he changed those views. He has not. It's a story he tells in his book, A Question of Conscience. He'll be in St. Louis next week as part of the Catholic Tipping Point Tour, sponsored by the Catholic Action Network for Social Justice. It bills itself as an independent Catholic voice rooted in church social teaching. Father Flannery joins us. So nice to have you with us, Father.
Thank you very much. Good to be talking to you.
And thank you for being a patient during our political discussion. You know, as we look at your story, it really looks to me kind of like a David versus Goliath situation, a struggle of that magnitude. Do you see it that way?
It was that way up to 18 months ago, and suddenly I find that now, from being on the fringes of the church with views that were not acceptable, I now find myself in a situation where I'm almost in total agreement with Pope Francis and everything that he is saying. So I find myself now back in the center of things in our church.
But is he in agreement with everything you're saying?
Well, I think by and large he is. Some of the views you attributed to me there, I would probably nuance them a good bit in what I would be saying. But the basic positions and the basic reforms that I would be looking for in the Catholic Church would be very similar to the type of ones that Pope Francis is attempting to achieve.
So the Church is changing.
Well, the Church has a potential now to become a really relevant institution again, which it actually hasn't been for a considerable period of time. Because the disconnect between the official Church, both in its teaching and in its leadership, and the ordinary members has become enormous. And that has been a major problem in our church.
What is standing in the way at the present time? I mean, the Pope rules supreme. If he is changing, one would think that's basically all there is to it.
Not quite. It doesn't work quite as simply as that, unfortunately. And anyway, now we have a Pope who, it seems to me, and I think correctly, does not want to act in an authoritarian fashion, but wants to create a climate in which the voices of people are heard. We've had 30 to 40 years of authoritarianism in the church, and in a lot of cases, an abuse of power. I think this Pope wants to bring, older Catholics will understand this when I say it, to bring the teachings of the Second Vatican Council and the type of church that the Second Vatican Council envisaged. He's trying to actually bring it into reality now, which has never happened in the last 50 years.
You know, I can't say that all of our listeners are Catholic and fully understand what you've just said. What is it about Vatican II that non-Catholics should understand?
Yeah. In the 1960s, there was a three-year council of the Catholic Church, Second Vatican Council.
Pope John.
Pope John the 23rd, which was a reforming council. It was the first one in over 100 years, and it laid out a new vision for the Catholic Church. But unfortunately, the council documents were never fully implemented because two popes, Pope John Paul II, followed by Pope Benedict, were very traditional popes who tended to bring the church back to pre-Vatican II days. So my generation, who grew up in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council in the last century, we still long for the implementation of those teachings. So I would see myself and my contemporaries, and I wouldn't be in any way unusual in Ireland in my views. In fact, my views would be mainstream in Ireland. We would see ourselves as being the real inheritors of the proper teaching of the Catholic Church, the teaching of the Council, which is the highest authority in the church, even higher than popes.
What do you make of the output from the recent synod? And I understand there will be another gathering at some point. But
the synod of the last couple of weeks is the beginning of a year-long process, which will end with a further synod. But in the meantime, the Pope wants the discussion to continue at all levels in the Catholic Church. What would I make of it? I would be very happy with it. I would be very happy with the process by which it is being conducted, even more so than the content of it. It would be very much the type of church that I would have always worked for and longed for, a church where the reality of the lives of the believing people becomes the central starting point of all discussion, as against, say, starting discussion with doctrine and saying, this is the doctrine, this is what you've got to believe. Now we have a process in this synod that is looking at, it is on family life, looking at what is the real experience of families in the modern world, what are the challenges, what are the difficulties. Now let's see how we can integrate our doctrine to make it a realistic, merciful help to people to live out their Christian life. I love that process.
What do you think this means, then, for the subject of the ordination of women, for views on contraception, on homosexuality and divorce? Do you think we could be looking at a dramatic change in these areas?
No, I wouldn't. I don't see any dramatic changes in doctrine, and actually I wouldn't even want them. What I would want is more a change in process. And I think once the process is opened up, the great word that Pope John the 23rd used in the middle of the last century, collegiality, in other words, that decision-making in the church becomes something that all the different voices play a part in insofar as possibly can. That's what I want to see happening. If we have a good process, an open process, a non-authoritarian process, then I believe that the Spirit of God will work through that, and appropriate doctrines and appropriate pastoral practices will emerge. Now, whether that will mean the ordination of women or not, only time will tell on that. That's not something that will come quickly in the Catholic Church. I believe it will come. I don't expect to see it in my lifetime. Ultimately, it's a matter of justice and equality, and I don't think the Catholic Church can continue excluding women from decision-making in its church, because that's becoming more and more an anachronism in the modern world. But I think maybe it's more important that women be in positions of decision-making rather than having them ordained as priests.
You think that this is something not likely to happen in your, or perhaps my lifetime as well. But what about the process? You talk about the process changing. Can we assign a time frame to that?
Like many Catholics that I'm meeting in this country, we're praying that the present Pope, whom you know, is an older man. We're praying that he gets a good 5 years of help. And if he does, at the rate that he's going, seems to me he has a very clear idea of what he wants to achieve in the church. He's moving quickly. He's moving with great strength. And if he gets a good 5 years, I would hope that he would have embedded a whole new way of doing things in the church so that the next 4 or 5 years are going to be crucial for the future of the Catholic Church, as I see it.
One of the things that we here in St. Louis would look at for signs that things are changing is the situation for Cardinal Raymond Burke, who was the Archbishop here for a period of time and considered very, very conservative. He has somewhat, and I'll use this term, it's perhaps not the proper one, he seems to have fallen from grace in the Vatican. Has he, and what does it mean?
It would appear that he has fallen from grace. It hasn't been finally decided yet, but it seems fairly certain now that he's going to be demoted from his position. And that is a very significant move. Cardinal Burke, I suppose, for somebody in my position, it is ironic because for years we have had people like Cardinal Burke reprimanding people of liberal views in the church and telling us that we must obey the Holy Father in the era of Pope John Paul and Pope Benedict. And now we find he himself is very openly attacking the present Holy Father, Pope Francis, because he doesn't agree with some of the things that Francis is doing. I'll be pleased if Francis does demotion, because I think the way he's behaving is quite disgraceful, really.
On the other hand, however, getting some sort of a dialogue going of this sort could, I suppose, in some ways be helpful.
Yes, certainly, but it has to be a reasonable dialogue. It has to be a dialogue between people who are open and willing to listen to each other. And that is going on and has gone on, and there have been alternative views on all these topics were expressed in the Senate, and Francis clearly welcomed that. But it would appear to me that Cardinal Burke is gone well beyond that and has gone now to the stage where he is making personal attacks on the Pope, and I think that is just utterly inappropriate for somebody in his position.
Do you think that he, and I'm sure you want to be careful with your answers here, I know you're outspoken and not afraid to speak your mind, but do you think that Cardinal Burke is an exception within the College of Cardinals?
He's not an exception in terms of his views. There are many more traditional-minded cardinals in the Catholic Church. Of course they are, and that's fine, because I think in the process that I'm talking about, all views will have to be respected and listened to. And we certainly don't want to go from a church where traditional views were dominant and the other side wasn't heard to a church which does the opposite, because we'll be achieving nothing that way. People of conservative views are as entitled to be in the church, as entitled to have their voices heard as, say, people like myself. But there is a way in which this needs to be done. There has to be great respect for each other, and there has to be a great listening process. And some of the latest statements that have come from Cardinal Burke seem to me to be inappropriate in that context for somebody in his position. So while there are a lot who would share his views, I don't hear too many saying the type of things which amount to personal attacks on the Pope, as he is doing.
Are more younger voices needed within the hierarchy? I say that because you mentioned a moment or two ago that some changes are going to be necessitated by living in a modern world. And frankly, people looking at the Catholic Church from the outside looking in think that it is very old and therefore very conservative. That is in its power structure.
Absolutely. You're perfectly right there. And even just to see a gathering like the gathering of cardinals that went into the conclave to elect the Pope, that was the two big things that would strike you looking at that: old and male, all old men. And while obviously old men carry a lot of wisdom and experience, they only represent one element of the whole community of believers around the world. So certainly younger voices need to be in there, but equally importantly, female voices need to be in there. So I would hope that even in my lifetime, we mightn't see women ordained priests, but I think it would be great if we could see women in a conclave electing a pope.
How do you feel about the way you have been treated? You've been basically accused of heresy. You've been threatened with excommunication and kind of batted around a little bit by the folks over there in Rome.
By the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith.
Exactly, yes.
Yes, I have. Yeah, not by my own order, the Redemptorists, who are very supportive of me and of whom I am still a full member, even though I'm not allowed to practice as a priest. How do I feel about it? Put it mildly, it's been an interesting time. It's been quite a hard time in a lot of ways because my life has been turned upside down. I'm now 67 years of age. But then on the other hand, here I am now in America. I'm involved in an 18-city speaking tour right across the United States. 3 years ago before the Vatican came down on me, I wouldn't have been even heard of in America, being a traveling redemptorist preacher in a small island, Ireland, in the western corner of Europe. So that by what the Vatican have done to me, they have projected me into a whole new area of life. And as some people say to me, a new ministry with church reform, which is extraordinarily interesting and exciting in its own way.
By putting you down, in a sense, they may, in fact, unintentionally be giving you a stronger voice.
Well, you see, in some ways that has happened, yes. And I suppose I'm in an anomalous situation now. According to the official authorities of the church, the CDF, Congregation of Doctrine and Faith, I'm supposed to remain silent. Obviously, I'm not doing that, but my redemptorist superiors don't seem to have any difficulty about me doing what I'm doing because nobody is objecting to it. So that's part of what's going on in the church at the moment, particularly under Francis, because everybody realizes there's a new open debate now, which Francis has called for, and he wants people to speak their minds, to speak openly and without fear. And he also wants us to listen respectfully to each other. So that's why I feel myself very much in the mainstream of what's happening in the church right at the moment.
I want to take a phone call from one of our listeners in a moment, but I also want to point out that if you want to hear more from Father Flannery, he's going to be in St. Louis on November 13th and will appear at 7 o'clock at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church at an event sponsored by the Catholic Action Network for Social Justice. This is called Father the Tipping Point Tour. What does that mean?
That is a name put on it by the reform movements, the network of reform movements that have invited me here. I actually don't know. I'm the second person who toured this country under that title. Last year, the leader of the Austrian priest movement, Father Helmut Schuller, was here and did a similar type tour that I'm doing. And they call that the Catholic Tipping Point. So I'm number two in that. And, of course, I'm one of the founders and leaders of the Irish Association of Catholic Priests. So there's a connection between Helmut Schuller and myself, along with the fact that we're good friends.
The tipping point would indicate that a lot of people feel that perhaps the Catholic Church is at a tipping point. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're right there.
Sure.
I would see this as such a crucial time in the Catholic Church, and how things go over the next couple of years could well determine what the Church will be like in a century time.
Let's take a call. Jana is joining us from Wentzville and wants to get into the discussion. Go ahead, Jana. You're on the air.
Hello, Father. It's so refreshing.
Hello.
It's so refreshing to hear your voice of bravery and honesty. I have a question for you that, well, you're a brave and honest man, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you, what is your stand on the mostly Protestant doctrine of salvation by grace through faith?
Janet.
I'm almost as brave as you are. You promised to be honest.
It's a major theological question you have landed on.
Absolutely is.
And I suppose
time's a wasting, folks. We need an answer to the question.
I'm not a professional theologian, and I wouldn't have a great answer to that question. But I would be very much on the line that salvation, however it will work out, and I would have great confidence that ultimately all people will be saved, but that the quality of our lives, the way in which we live, the way in which we love one another, is going to be the crucial thing rather than just a belief. A belief without good works, to me, seems to be a fairly empty thing. So I would put great emphasis on the good works, on the loving your neighbor part.
Father Flannery, only a couple of minutes left, and you can't have a conversation these days about the Catholic Church without bringing up that very painful issue of sexual abuse. Has the Church been doing enough, been outspoken enough, do you think, on dealing with this?
Well, we've had a nightmare last 20 years in Ireland about it, over all that issue, as you've had here. In some ways, yes. In some ways, structures have been put in place and awareness has been raised and all that sort of thing, and all that has been good. Church was slow to act, gradually got its act together to some extent. I would feel, though, that maybe something deeper is needed. I think we need to look very seriously at the whole question of compulsory celibacy and whether or not that is a factor in clerical sexual abuse. And also, I think we need to look at the traditional Catholic sexual teaching, which contained within it a lot of sexual repression. And as we know now with our better understanding of human psychology, that when you repress something as deep in the human person as the sexual instinct, it can often emerge in very unacceptable ways. And I would have serious questions about those two issues, and I don't see the church as yet having the courage to look seriously at those.
I gather that what you're saying, this is another one of these things that is likely to take time.
Exactly, and unfortunately, I'd love to be young because I think the next 30, 40 years could be very exciting in the Catholic Church and in religion generally, because I suppose the whole thing of institutional religion is really being challenged at the moment.
Well, when you speak in terms of 40 years, I guess put in the context of the age of the church itself, that's not a very long time, seem so to me.
Yes, exactly. Same with me. Exactly.
All right. Yes. Well, Father Tony Flannery, we're all looking forward to hearing you when you come to St. Louis. I'll remind our audience once again that that is going to be happening on November 13th. You'll be appearing at 7 o'clock at the St. Stanislaus Kostka Church at an event sponsored by the Catholic Action Network for Social Justice. It's part of that Tipping Point tour that we were talking about just a few moments ago. Stay well, stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you in St. Louis in just
Thank
a couple of days,
much.
Father. Nice talking
Thank
you
to you. Bye.
Thank you so much. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with former NFL lineman Joe Ehrman about masculinity and violence and his efforts to define masculinity in a very positive way. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at sdlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.